Hi, my name is Deborah Dole, and I am a nurse midwife. I've been a nurse midwife for over 20 years. I also teach at the University of Cincinnati and have recently fallen in love with community-based participatory methods. This project was actually my dissertation work, and it changed everything for me personally, professionally, and on every other level. I have nothing to disclose. It was made possible from funding from the University Research Center as well as the Dean's Research Award. I also need to make sure that everyone knows that the acknowledgement needs to go to the girls that participated in this project. It was amazing, and it would not have been possible without their full engagement and participation. I love this quote because it just says it all. A web is stronger than it looks. Although it is made of thin, delicate strands, the web is not easily broken. However, it gets torn every day and must be rebuilt when it gets full of holes. That came from Charlotte's Web. And I was reading to my son, who was 8 at the time, and he loves that portion of Charlotte's Web. So it has multiple meanings. This is a little video I'm not going to have time to go through, but it goes through infant mortality and the devastating impact that this has had, particularly in the African-American community. Mothering practices of African-American women have been affected by social, political, race, gender issues, and it has altered the way that cultural mothering practices have traditionally been transferred. The purpose of this story was to understand and explore how African-American adolescents in particular, because my whole career has been focused in meeting with young mothers, mothers-to-be, and participating in their birth experiences. And I wanted to know how these practices were transferred generationally. The aims, again, to explore these cultural meanings, explore the ways in which these mothering practices are perceived and transferred, and to identify their cultural strengths. This study, I took a specific appreciative inquiry approach, which focuses on assets and strengths. I'll get into that in a minute. Again, I think we all are pretty much familiar with the information in terms of health disparities in African Americans. For those who need the visual, I put my obligatory visual in. And significance, again, understanding that, you know, the Healthy People 2010 goals were not met. They were not met in any form or fashion and are now being reconfigured to the 2020 goal, so we'll see how that goes. The other point that I want to make is that the traditional biomedical framework that's been used to look at infant mortality and the disparities, it hasn't worked. Interventions that have been based around that approach have not worked. It has not changed anything. Again, the pattern that emerges suggests this cumulative life course event, and this makes so much sense. I'm just surprised it took so long for people to figure this out. It was important to distinguish between parenting and mothering for this particular presentation. And mothering, in my perspective, is a gendered perspective. That's not to say that men can't mother. Men can mother. But it is a particularly gendered perspective that is taken. Socially constructed and culturally interpreted, which parenting is as well. A working definition of culture here. Culturing mothering practices are those behaviors and processes that result from the wide range of influences, your daily life, what you come in contact with, what you value, what's a part of your daily experience. And they're transferred generationally. What's been studied, again, biomedical framework primarily focused on processes, parenting processes. This was done by a nurse and it makes me cringe. But actually they were looking at multi-problem mothers, and the way they defined these multi-problem mothers were they had low education, lack of social support, and low income, and they were less than 19 years old. Well, that's pretty much everybody. So it was really, I believe, a little bit of a slant in the perspective they were taking. They were looking for problems. Again, the key to this slide is that there was no difference between the support given by a network versus family support, and that's really critical when we get to the findings of this particular study. Competence and self-esteem has been looked at. You know, if you feel good about your role as a parent or your skill as a parent, then it feeds itself and you become a more effective parent, supposedly. I decided to take a different approach. It wasn't enough to look at any one aspect, race, gender, or class. For me, it was the intersection of all three that really made a difference. And I couldn't really find a model that did that, so I had to build my own. It was important that the study have its own theoretical perspective, and I used critical race theory, critical social theory, and critical feminist theory that address the race, the gender, and the social construction. I also felt like it was really important to have an interpretive framework to look at, because I am Caucasian, I'm middle-aged, and I probably don't live in a neighborhood that these girls were going to be coming from. So it wouldn't have been appropriate for me to try to interpret the information through my own lens. I needed to have a mechanism to interpret it through their lens with their assistance. So I used Black feminist thought, Africana womanism, and womanism, and sort of melded those together. That went into the interpretation piece, went out to the community who participated, and then got feedback. So it was a very intricate little system. CBPR, again, there are ways to get to these multi-layers of information. This is one way to do it, and this is amazing because it truly does reflect the participant's perspective. Again, I took the appreciative inquiry approach. I think it's okay to look for the positive. That doesn't mean you ignore the negative or the challenges, but that you want to build on the strengths that are identified. I used Photo Voice. It's an unbelievable method. It can be used as part of a larger study. It can be used as a study itself, which in my case it was. The process itself becomes an intervention. And it's just an amazing method to give you insight into things that you would have no other way to find out. And the next couple of slides here are just, you know, support for doing Photo Voice. Caroline Wang is the one who actually developed the method, and she did a community needs assessment, particularly with women and their perception of resources in their community. This is another study that was done by Caroline Wang, who looked at intergenerational links across life stage, and it was done with homeless African American women. And then this was another one that was really important to my perspective, was that it was done with adolescents. There's some real challenges with giving cameras to teenagers. You have to be really clear about what the goal, what the purpose. Talk about appropriateness, environment, what you can take a picture of, what you shouldn't take a picture of, that you wouldn't want yourself being photographed doing certain things. So it there's a twist to it. These were my research questions, assumptions. The reason I'm flying through this is I want to get to their presentation. This was the process I used. Again, you know, I jumped into this thinking, okay, I can do this, I have a plan. This was messy. The messiness of it became the beauty of it, because it was allowed to take on its own personality. What did we do? Well, I recruited. I didn't recruit. I put up recruitment flyers. And once people contacted me directly, said that they were interested, they were oriented to the project, how to take pictures, ethics, consent, all of that stuff. Photo assignments were made. The actual assignments were made by the girls. They came up with the topics for their photographic week. And what I did essentially was I had disposable cameras, gave them a disposable camera. They came up with the topic for the week. They went out and took pictures. They had an envelope that was pre-addressed, pre-stamped, sent it back to me. I went to Walgreens, got them developed, two sets and a disc, left them sealed. I did not look at them. We met the next week. I brought their pictures, gave them to them. They opened them up, and they went through them. They determined, we went through a process, they picked 10 that were really important to them. Meanwhile, they were doing this, they also kept a journal. They took they kept journal notes about the pictures that they took, and they also journaled about their daily lives experience as teenage mothers. There was a total of 12 girls that participated in this from the beginning to the end. What I learned about this kind of research is that they dropped in and they dropped out. And they built a network amongst themselves in this process. It was not integral to the study that if you started on day one that you ended. It reflected the fluid nature of their lives. And so it was really important for me to have to go back to IRB and say, you know, this isn't exactly how I thought it was going to be, and these are the changes I need to make. They brought friends. They brought siblings. They brought family members. They all contributed to the rich data that was produced in this study. And originally, I thought, well, I'll just get some teenage girls together. We'll take some pictures, and we'll learn a lot. It was way more than that. So again, going back to IRB multiple times and saying, sorry. In terms of them bringing their pictures back, there's an actual process that you use, and there are a couple of different ways to actually do photo voice in terms of analysis. And your participants do the analysis, and you facilitate that process. So it's not me necessarily analyzing their pictures. And we did some concept mapping. We put whiteboards, white paper boards on the wall. They got individual colored markers. And we did some concept mapping. We did some discussion topics. We did theme analysis. It was a lot of fun. It culminated in a public display at the public library, the main branch downtown Cincinnati, where I'm from. They have a teen center there, which on any given day, probably several hundred people come through. And it was on display there for 2 months. The girls were actually going to be interviewed by a local television station, but then the swine flu came along and we got bumped. So it was kind of a bummer. What did we find? These were the themes that evolved between my analysis and their analysis. Building a network. They were really good at building a network. Sharing responsibilities. They learned how to share responsibilities amongst themselves and among those other adolescents that were involved in building their network. And they were very forward thinking. They saw themselves in the future in a very positive way. Originally, what was going to happen is they were all going to do individual collages with their pictures, with their own little personal stories. Well, as they got into this, they decided, no, I want to take my collage home. So they wanted to do a collective collage. I would bring my laptop to every session. We would sit down. We would talk about the pictures. We'd do our little data analysis, and this is what we built. Each of these slides was put on a 4x6 foam board that was then mounted as an art display. Again, a group of mothers in our community, they did photography, journaling, and group discussion. These were the questions that they came up with that they took pictures about. What is mothering to you? Who or what are the important people in your life or your community that help you as a mother? What are the things that make it hard? And what do you want people to know about being a teenage mother? And what was the future? What did the future look like? We did the Wordle. They love the Wordle. And of course, you know, the larger words are the ones that show up more frequently when you looked at journal entries and discussion topics and all of our concept mapping. I think it's interesting. People, hard, mother, life, and future. These were snippets from the discussions. I really cannot say enough about the insight that these young women, the youngest one that participated was 14, almost 15, the oldest one that participated was 21. My favorite one is, I want people to know it's hard to be a teen mom because you can do it with family and friends, but you have to be willing to help yourself. Stay in school, doing what you need to do, take care of yourself, and take care of your child. The pictures broke down into two distinct groupings, one with places and one were actually people. One of the most important ones, and I want to show this, is the one in the center that made her feel like she was backed into a corner. When she brought that forward for the group discussion, What was interesting was some of the other girls in the group said, yeah, but there's a window there. There's a way out, which I thought, oh my gosh, that's so insightful. 15, 16, 17-year-olds. I'm running out of time. Okay, and then this was the people section. And again, very intimate pictures that were taken, very intimate descriptions about what the pictures were representing in their lives. If my mind can conceive it and I can believe it, I can achieve it. That became the theme for this group. Journaling, these were snippets from their journals. She is my life. She motivates me to become a mother and stay in school so I can have a better life. There was also discussion about sisters and the sisters who lived together, who were raising their children together, who also had an extended family that was integral to their support, how they complemented one another. It was just amazing. The glass is half full. It's okay to identify strengths. It's okay to build on those strengths. The result is empowerment from the inside out. What I learned was I cannot empower another individual. What I can do is set the stage for you to discover how to be empowered. Thank you for your attention.